Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The U.S. job market is tough all over and a real hard smack of reality for America's young. Very few have been waltzing off with a diploma straight into a job. Many have been looking and not finding. Some have sized up the job market and decided to make their own. Cleaning gutters, planning parties, taking on the web this hour on Point, young Americans making their own jobs. You can join the conversation. 20-somethings, have you thought about it? Have you done it? Started your own business, made your own job. How's it going? Is that what it's going to take? You can comment at our website as well, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We're going to hear today from a young baker, a filmmaker, a party planner, a cleaner. Let us hear from you. With us first from Iowa City, Iowa today is Alicia Rose Ambler. She's 27. She launched her first business this month, selling organic granola, crackers and bread baked and packaged in her home kitchen at the online marketplace. Etsy is where she's selling. Her brand is Rosie's Best. Alicia Ambler, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me.
What have you got in the oven today?
Lots of granola. Everybody loves it, so that's what I'm baking by the batch.
Good. We're going to hear about how you're shipping it out the door. It's great to have you with us. Also joining us from New York is Scott Gerber. His current company is Sizzle It, which makes short promotional videos. And he's got a new book out, Never Get a Real Job, How to Dump Your Boss, Build a Business, and Never Go Broke. Scott Gerber, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So is this really the time when everybody can go out and start their own, roll their own job, Scott?
I think it's time that we stop pretending in this country that work hard, get good grades, go to school, and get a job is in any way applicable to Gen Y, and it's time to create a job to keep a job.
Not in any way applicable. All those, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people, they can't work hard, get good grades, get a diploma, and get a job. Everybody's going to, I don't know, be starting a new company?
I think we need to start looking towards an entrepreneurial future because, frankly, our options are diminishing by the day. And you have things like globalization, automation, overabundance of educational institutions, everything really working against Gen Y's favor to be a successful society. So that's why I believe we really do have to move away from the mantra of a resume handout-driven society and move more towards one of self-sufficiency.
Globalization, automation, sounds like you got your wrap about ready to go there, Scott. Maybe you'll cut a record as well.
Alicia, ready to go when you are, Tom.
Okay. Alicia, what took you to baking granola and selling it online as your job?
Well, I have written a food blog for the last 3 years, and I decided that it was time to stop writing about food and start making it. And it turns out that people like the food that I make and they want to buy it. So I saw that as an opportunity to do in part-time while I'm still working a normal full-time job, and hopefully I'll transition to full-time at some point.
So you actually have a full-time job and you're doing this on the side?
Yeah, Matt, I actually got out of a meeting to come talk to you today.
good for you. Thanks for doing that. How did you get the job in the first place, the full-time job, and why not just stick with it? You're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, by all auspices, I'm pretty successful. I got my graduate degree in linguistics and went straight to working here at the university. But I really decided that I wanted to do something from my home that I was really passionate about, and food is something that I think everybody connects with, and I certainly did, and I love connecting with people over food. I can't think of a better thing to do for a living.
Can you make a living cooking, baking granola in the kitchen? I mean, how big is your stove?
I have a normal-sized stove, and no, I don't make a living at it yet, but I'm hoping to soon. It's every night and every weekend. That's what I'm doing, so...
Scott, you got a whole lot of balls in the air here. You've got a crew putting the videos together. You've put together a group called the Young Entrepreneur Council. You've got the book out, Never Get a Real Job. You're all over the place. You're looking at investing yourself, I guess, or pulling money together for young entrepreneurs. Do you think we're going to have a different profile in this generation? I mean, is that so clear now? Can a country of 300 million really operate with the expectation that, a big portion of its young people coming into the working market are going to be working for themselves?
Well, again, we have to take what is actually happening in our current economy as an example. I mean, right now you have nearly 20% youth unemployment in this country. It's never been seen before. And so to keep saying the old ways are going to work is frankly not a solution to me. And I find it very hard, and I debate this point very often, that in this country we say that being passive is a better solution than being proactive.
Getting a job is being passive? Since when?
I think sending resumes is a very passive activity that for millions of people is not working. And simply saying that we're going to continue down that road for no other reason than there's no other alternative, I think, is a very foolish mindset. So I think that if we can start to change the corner, start to, from the lower levels, become an entrepreneurial generation through education, through initiatives such as the Entrepreneur Council and the Gen Y Fund that we're putting together, and a variety of other things, from within, I believe we can move ourselves forward.
You've been in the high-tech arena. We're going to hear more of that. Alicia's baking granola in Iowa. We're going to talk with a young man in San Francisco who's just started a green janitorial service. He's 21. He started it with his father. But what's the range of kinds of jobs or new companies that you're thinking and talking about here, Scott? What's the range?
Well, it crosses the gamut. But right now, again, I think we live in a world where everybody talks about the sexy business, the next Facebook and such. And that's not really where my mindset is at. I believe that we need to have a very practical, simple approach to business. We have to do more things along the lines of janitor services, pool cleaning services, junk removal companies, things that are essential business-to-business services or service-related businesses that are capable of generating immediate revenue for the owners and creating a revenue stream and an income stream. And so while I'm not advocating on any level that innovation is not important, I do believe now we do have to move towards that era of create a job to keep a job by creating these very down and dirty businesses that are, again, capable of generating that level of income.
You know, look, I think it's exciting when people can pull it off, but if the companies who already do those things aren't hiring, explain why is there an opportunity for somebody starting it up from scratch?
Mm-hmm. Well, in a recession, you know, a lot of companies cut back on advertising, marketing, the ability to move themselves forward as well, simply because they are lacking resources. They've scaled to such a level that they are no longer relevant to certain markets because they've priced themselves out, or now they're caught in kind of a crux moment of not knowing which direction to go in terms of their overall business strategy. So really, this is the time when little fish can come and start to really corner niche markets and take that market share away from the larger behemoths. So, you know, case in point, you have my friend Nick and Omar, who started a company called College Hunks Hauling Junk, which basically is a junk removal business that is based in Florida. And when they started in college, they had a few guys that were out there removing junk. Not a sexy business on any level. Today, it makes millions of dollars, and it's branded unique, branded and marketed to be very unique. But the service is essential, and it worked, and they scaled it over time. That's what we as a country, we as a generation need to do.
Little fish starting out small, and they're getting big in that case anyway. I want to begin to bring our callers in here. Alicia, please stand by in Iowa, and Scott in New York. Drew is calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Drew. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm 48 years old, so I'm not one of your Gen Y folks.
Okay.
And I've got graduate degrees, years of experience in tech and different fields. Also unemployed until I started a business. And most of the people that I know that are boomers or just past boomers and all the way through are also pursuing this. I think that the economy has fundamentally changed, not just for 20-year-olds, but for everybody.
So you're saying you're going to have to start your own period? Does that work on a grand scale, a mass scale, Drew?
I've already done it, and I think that there are, I know at least 30 or 40 people that have done it.
And what's the transition been like?
We're not talking about things like million-dollar junk removal growing.
Yeah.
Businesses. I know people that have gone back and become plumbers. I know people that have gone back and become carpenters. And those are viable small businesses. And we need to start thinking about them different than even baking cookies or any of those other kind of things. They're the core things that are going to be needed, and people are going back and doing that.
So what's your advice, Drew, to 20-somethings coming out into the job market trying to think about what to do? How do I get started here?
Choose something that there's already a fixed demand for. Junk removal is good. The goal is not necessarily the million-dollar business. The goal is to pay your mortgage or your rent and be able to do the things that are necessary.
Absolutely.
We need to start thinking more in those terms again instead of the the high flying terms that have been so prevalent for so many years.
Yeah, Drew in Salt Lake City, I appreciate your call. Alicia, what's your goal? You've got granola baking there. You're shipping it out when people order it on the web. I mean, is there a point at which you can see yourself being self-sustaining on the baking business? You know, how long does that take?
For me, it's a matter of infrastructure. There just isn't really a large community kitchen yet, so I might have to build one of these days to have enough capacity. But for now, I'm just trying to get it going in my spare time and then building building my brand and my reputation and getting taken on at already existing retail stores like restaurants and grocery stores.
What do your friends say to you, Alicia? Do they say you're crazy to even think about leaving that job at the university to be out there on your own? What about, you know, health benefits and retirement and all the rest?
No, we're not so much worrying about that. What they see, they've been so encouraging, and I'm so lucky to have the support that I do have, and they recognize that if you have a strong, burning desire to do something in your life, you should feel supported to pursue it. So I consider myself lucky to have the family and friends that I do.
Do you see others around you, you know, in their 20s taking this same path, or are you the outlier in your community, Alicia?
No, I've actually met a few others, and we've actually, a couple other entrepreneurs and I have gotten together to do a little mastermind group. So I have a set group of women that I meet with on a weekly basis, and we check in with each other and support each other because it's not normal. It's not what everybody does. It's not 9-to-5. So it's really nice to have other people who are going through the same thing. So, yeah, I definitely see lots of people doing it.
So what are your evenings like then in the kitchen? Are you, ladling, I don't know, granola out of the wrapping it up what are you doing? How are you shipping it out?
Yeah, it's about half baking and then honestly half packaging and working on the web. The internet is really what allows me to do what I do. I couldn't do what I do without websites like Etsy and PayPal and my blog, which is how people find me. So I spend a lot of time on the computer marketing myself, putting listings up on Etsy, and then packaging things. For homemade gifts, it's really important that they look beautiful. People have to feel excited when they open it, so I have to spend a lot of time on packaging.
Alicia Rose Ambler in Iowa City, Iowa, launched her Rosie's Best brand of organic baked goods. Granola, first of all, in the online marketplace Etsy this month. You can find her blog as well, Culinary Bliss. Alicia, we wish you good luck with that. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about young Americans making their own jobs. It's a tell to get hired. They're starting their own companies as a way to be employed, self-employed in this case. Scott Gerber is with us. He's 27 now, founder and CEO of Gerber Enterprises. He's got a company, Sizzle It, that makes short promotional videos. He's founder of the Young Entrepreneurs Council, an advocacy group, and author of the new book, Never Get a Real Job, How to Dump Your Boss, Build a Business, and Never Go Broke. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. We're going to hear from more who have started their own business in just a second. We've got a lot on the line as well. Andy in Nashville. Thanks for calling, Andy. What's your story?
Hey, I am a 25-year-old entrepreneur in Nashville. I own an environmentally friendly screen printing company called Friendly Arctic Printing and Design.
Like silkscreen, T-shirts, that kind of stuff, Andy?
Yeah, we do T-shirts, tote bags, promotional items, and we're using exclusively water-based inks that don't have any toxic chemicals in them, and we also try to source mostly organic cotton and recycled fiber, garments, tote bags.
So what kind of images are you screening onto your T-shirts these days? What's hot?
A lot of what we do is kind of natural stuff. We work with a lot of our customers are already kind of interested in environmentally friendly subject, so you know, we do a lot of trees, nature things, but we also try to do kind of more fashionable designs. We're trying to print shirts that people actually like to wear and are actually good for the environment, as opposed to just creating something that's you know, a shirt you wear once and throw away.
Are you making a living? Are you off of mom and dad's couch?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've been I got married and started the company a month later with my wife. And we've been doing it for almost 2.5 years now, and we're making a decent living. We have a storefront here in Nashville and have an employee, so we're doing pretty well.
Hey, that's great. Tell us the name of the company. How can we find it online?
It's called Friendly Arctic Printing and Design. Our website is just friendlyarctic.com.
In Nashville, Tennessee. Andy, thank you very much for your story, and good luck. One more right here from Boston. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, I graduated in December of 2008, so it was right after the crash. So I decided, I had started it before college. It's a company called MRG Communications. So I've been doing that on the side from my insurance work. I'm an insurance agent as well, and I'm finishing my master's degree in business. So I've been keeping a lot of balls in the air all at the same time.
What do you think about this idea of young Americans starting their own businesses to make a job?
I think it's a great idea. I think we all need to be entrepreneurial. We all need to be looking out for ourselves as well as others. But we need to kind of get the idea that being entrepreneurial is something we're all going to have to do, and we all have to work for ourselves no matter what our situation is.
Matt, I appreciate your call. We've got more and more. Scott Gerber says here in New York, and I have with me in the studio now as well yet another example. Morgan First is with me, 27. She has started two successful companies. One was called Motion Affair Planner. It was a local city guide and planner that she printed and sold at Barnes & Noble's. The next is Second Glass. Morgan, tell us, what is Second Glass?
Yeah, so Second Glass is an events company where we're really working with technology to help people try new wines, remember what they're drinking, and share it with friends.
Wine. So an events, so are you planning wine tastings, or what is it? How's it work?
So bigger picture, actually, you know, I was really interested in Alicia's story, and you're asking about her starting small, because mm-hmm. Second Glass actually started as a print publication. We slowly moved online, and we had a blog, and then we started really throwing events. And big picture, what we're doing is helping 21 to 35-year-olds learn about wine in a really fun way and connect with wineries. And so we throw this big event called Wine Riot. It's a big event with about 2,500 people, 250 wines. We've been doing it successfully here in Boston, and next year we're going to do it on tour across the country.
Well, so how do you make money exactly?
So that's the thing. So we have this bigger technology idea, but we started making money with the event. We actually charge the wineries to be at the event, and then, you know, most events you pay a ticket. The tickets are about $50, and so all 2,500 attendees pay us $50, and we were really able to bootstrap from the event, start bringing on a team, start bringing on developers, and now we've created some mobile technology that you can use at our event to remember all the wines that you're trying. So it's been very cool. We've grown pretty organically from something small and really brought that idea much bigger.
Second Glass, introducing young people to wine mm-hmm. and sort of and the wine business to young people. Are you the boss here? Are you making a living?
Yeah, I'm the CEO. And right now, I'm definitely making a living, paying my bills. I think we're totally
health insurance?
I had it for a little while, got rid of it, and we're getting it back again in January.
Okay, that's good. But, I mean, that must be tough, a little scary to start to take on those infrastructure costs that come along with having to kind of have your own back.
Yeah, I mean, we're to the point right now we just hired our sixth full-time employee. And so it's a little bit scary having that many employees, but it's really exciting. You know, it's exciting to have other people behind you sharing your passion, so excited about your idea.
Startup money? How'd you do it from the beginning?
From the very beginning, we had a print publication, and we started selling ads in the print publication.
But, I mean, you had to eat while you were sort of wrote your first one. I mean, did you had savings? Did your parents help out, or how'd you do it?
So my business partner was working, you know, he was working a part-time job at a university, similar to Alicia, kind of doing his doing stuff for the company while he was working there. And then I was actually running my other company and starting this one up at the same time. So it's a juggling act, and it's definitely not that many hours of sleep, but if you're really excited and passionate about it, it's so worth it.
Scott, how big a swath of your generation do you think this includes at this point? I mean, you may say it is the way, this is what we're going to have to do, but is it more than, I don't know, 1% of 20-somethings who have started their own business to make their own job?
You know, there's a lot of data out there to support the fact that there's a huge demand and a new craving to be in part of this this new movement. I will say that there's no definable statistics I've seen in terms of the actual numbers. With that being said, though, you know, again, if you just look at the basic things, the fact, again, we're experiencing 20% youth unemployment, there are no other opportunities. So, you know, you're out of necessity and desperation seeing that shift. But again, you know, a lot of this stuff relies on where you see our future going. Are we going to continue to try to work a way around it, or are we going to try to fight our way back into a system that doesn't want us? So I will say that the demand seemingly is increasing. I mean, just to give you a case in point, since the New York Times article came out on Sunday regarding this, I've received over 13,000 emails from young people around the country that have been wanting to go into young entrepreneurial ranks. So there's definitely a demand, there's definitely a need, and there's definitely a movement towards what I consider to be our entrepreneurial nation of the future.
We've got people online saying, you go, Scott, you go, Morgan, you go, Alicia. But we've got skeptics as well. Nick writes, this sounds like more like an excuse for no jobs available. Look, Mom, We don't need jobs. We can create them myself. He says, we're a nation of serfs and princes. But what do you say, Scott?
I say this. I say, let's talk hard facts. Okay, the average HR representative receives 75 resumes per open job position, with literally the fact that when you do those numbers, that means that there's 2% chance of getting any one job at any given point. So are we going to say, hey, let's continue to try to send more of these resumes, or are we going to create our own opportunities? I'm not saying entrepreneurship is easy. Under no circumstance am I saying no job is easy. But the fact that somebody is going to say that, again, it is a better proposition to keep fighting our way into a system than to try to fight our way around it, I frankly don't see the value in that argument.
Mark in Quebec writes, winging it yourself is not for everyone. Being a free agent makes it nearly impossible to budget anything, and you'll be busy 1 month and drifting and worried the next. But he writes, but in the end, you'll be the master of your own time and your career if you can pull it off. Harrisonburg, Virginia, Nick is calling. Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I am a former professional bike racer, and I now run an eBay business selling surplus bike parts for professionals, other professional cyclists, and bike racing teams.
And how's it going? Are you making a living?
Indeed. it's still just me, you know, no employers yet, although I want it because my days are overwhelmed and don't ride my bike quite as much as I would like to being self-employed.
Right. And how do you sell what you're selling? Is it internet-based?
Yes. It's primarily eBay, you know, some, you know, walk-in customers, i.e. my basement, you know, people that are looking for stuff that know me in town, but mainly eBay, yeah.
I mean, this is interesting. Morgan, here's Nick. He's taking a personal enthusiasm and turning it into a living.
You know, I think what Scott mentioned earlier is exactly the situation that's going on here. He saw an opportunity. He saw that, you know, he'd been bike racing. Obviously, he knew the bike racing community. He's gotten lots of ins. He knew who to buy the parts from. He had connections of who might be interested in the parts. He probably knows, you know, way more than anybody else might on the subject. And so he saw the niche opportunity there to open up a company. He has a basement that he can work out of. It's not unglamorous to work out of your basement. It's cheap. You know, why not?
Absolutely.
Let's get a call from Augusta, Georgia. Buddy's calling. Hi, Buddy. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for the topic. It's great. I'm excited about what I hear, and certainly that's encouraging for everyone, but I'd like to know if the entrepreneurs actually make a living and have health care. And I want to hear more about service businesses. Also, there is kind of a cycle there with entrepreneurship and startup businesses in terms of about that 7-year plateau or 5-year. So those are some things that I'd like to know. But then there are lots of service businesses where people do have advanced college degrees. They have to pay so much, not just on different licenses and credentialing and insurance and those membership professional conferences and those types of things. And so I want to hear more about service businesses that have sustained beyond 5 years or beyond 2 months or 2 years. And under, you know, 10 to 15 years,
buddy,
especially with this economy.
I promise you, we will look at that. Where does that leave you, buddy? As a skeptic about whether this can work nationwide or as an enthusiast saying, let's go? Which?
Well, I've lived the life. So I am still an enthusiastic business owner. But service businesses does take a hit, and it has taken a hit, and things slow down. So you look at, okay, I've got 5 expertise on this field. Let me bump and get to the next level and still within the same targeted audience for who can be your clients.
But, buddy, you sound wise, and these are wise questions. And I want to take them straight to someone who's actually in a young startup service business. Let's go to San Francisco. Scott in New York and Morgan with me here in Boston. Stand by. Corey Griffin joins us from San Francisco, California, 21 years old, co-owner with his father of Basic Green Cleaning Services. It's an environmentally friendly janitorial company. Corey Griffin, thank you very much for being with us.
Wow, Tom, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you.
It's just terrific to have you. We're going to come to Buddy's question about how you keep this going, but tell us what you've started and why with your dad.
Okay, so I came out to San Francisco to help my father with his startup business, and he had the vision, and I just ran with it. And pretty much we really struggled to get things going and to get it going for the last 3 years. We've been focused and things are starting to establish. It took a while, but persistence and patience really worked out.
And it's service. It's cleaning. We're going to hear about it and what your hopes for it are. What does green cleaning mean, Corey? Here's another green. We heard about green silk screening or screen printing. Now you're green cleaning. What's that mean?
So pretty much green cleaning, a lot of people right now, they believe that green cleaning is just having to do with products. And that has a lot to do with it. But how our company is actually green is that we use green practices, such as green technology, microfilter vacuum cleaners, microfiber cloths, all the way to green inventory management. And I also believe a fact that my company leads from its leaders. So me being the CEO and working with the company, I'm green at home. I use public transportation. Luckily, living in San Francisco, we have a great public transportation system. But, you know, a lot of times the things that I do reflects onto my employees and my team members.
Corey, you're CEO. Does that mean you've got your feet up on a big glass tabletop on the 57th floor somewhere? Or are you out there with your hand on the vacuum cleaner, too?
No, I'm out there with my hand on the vacuum cleaner as well. But I'm also, you know, I don't have my CEO office yet, but I am at there's a lot of help out there for young entrepreneurs, such as, like, I'm at the Renaissance Entrepreneurship Center in San Francisco, and I have an office there that has a lot of resources, such as, like, having to take classes for my entrepreneurship struggle.
Yeah, and what about, where you're headed and where things stand now? I mean, do you have health insurance through your own company?
No, I do not have health insurance through my own company. Luckily, I'm 21 years old, and I take a couple of classes at the City College, and I'm eligible to be under my mother's health insurance, who she has pretty decent, so I am blessed on that end. But where I see my company going is, right now we're in the green industry where it's growing. You know, in some states they don't even recycle. So I definitely see some franchising or some big moves, such as moving my company around the U.S. You know, such as Minnesota, maybe Georgia.
Yeah. Are you and your dad cleaning offices or homes? And how do you get business? What's it like to go out there and try and get a new contract?
Yeah, so we're cleaning commercial and residential spaces. I take care of the marketing and sales. He takes care of the operations. We look at it as a business. We don't look at it as a job. So when we look at it as a business, it helps us go out there and actually market. So we have responsibilities. Me going out there and doing the marketing sales, I do a lot of networking. I'm in a lead exchange group, so I meet with a lot of professionals. And just really just put my personality out there and just learning the business, as, you know, people do business with people that they know and like. So that's pretty much, you know, just running out there and meeting people and branding yourself.
Yeah, right out there with the service business. Scott, Buddy's question from Augusta, Georgia was, you know, what about do these things plateau? You know, how do you keep it growing? When big janitorial services can't find business, how do little ones find business?
Yep.
What about the service industry?
Well, there's a lot of different mistakes. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, let me take it to Scott for just a second, Corey. We've got a little time here. Scott?
I would say that right now, more than ever, businesses need to change the way that they have formally moved themselves forward, mainly through strategic partnerships. You know, there right now are opportunities across the board to find new revenue-generating opportunities and income opportunities, simply by, instead of growing your infrastructure, growing through other people's infrastructure, using their sales teams to sell your product or cross-promote it. So, you know, again, it all comes back down to that core education I discussed earlier. You know, if you want to talk about a long-term plan, again, my whole thing is saying that real job mantra mentality. You know, again, according to the BLS, you have folks out there that 31% of the workforce only works for a year, versus the average business, according to the SBA, is surviving 70% of them for 2 years. So again, we can go back and forth on this level, which is better, which is not. But I think what it comes down to at the end of the day is, as long as you're selling, you're keeping lean and mean, you're keeping it simple, you're keeping it practical, you're minding your overhead, you're not going for fame and fortune, and you're keeping your business at first and foremost as the way in which you are moving your lifestyle forward as well, I think that there's a higher probability of success across the board.
Morgan, can you imagine starting a new business every 2 years? I mean, new businesses do fail, too, in big numbers. We know that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I started my first business, and I only ran that for 2.5 years, and then I jumped into my next one. I think a lot of starting new businesses is figuring out, you know, a little bit about it. For me, I started my first business. I learned so much, and I took all of that knowledge into my second business.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about young Americans making their own jobs. It is hard to get hired these days. Some are just starting their own companies. to make it happen. Corey Griffin is with us from San Francisco, 21 years old. He and his father have started Basic Green Cleaning Services out there, and you get the idea. Morgan First is here, 27. Her company is Second Glass. It's a company that promotes wine, wine understanding, wine insight with a young customer base there, I guess.
Yeah. The whole idea for our company is we really saw that wine really had a much older feeling, and so we wanted to make it really young and fun. The average age of most wine events is 65, and the average age of ours is 27. Really, just people focused on learning. It's fun.
So there's your business opportunity, and Scott Gerber is with us in New York, 27. He's founder and CEO of Gerber Enterprises, out with the new book, Never Get a Real Job. We've got a lot of reaction to this online, and it's really interesting. Here's Travis. He says, Tom, I'm listening while packing up my eBay products for shipment. Been at the eBay gig since starting college, graduating in May, and don't plan on walking away from this revenue stream. eBay and the web have made a lot of things happen. Michelle says, central to the conversation is the fact that many in Gen Y have watched their parents in the baby boom generation mm-hmm. find their personal identity in and give their lives to a That's company right. only to have their investment and good faith betrayed in some way. Mm-hmm. This may help explain the desire among Gen Y folks to own a business. But here's a question for you. Here's Christine in Cambridge. She says, I know lots of people of all ages who would like to start their own business but can't because of the price of health care costs, all caps. Everyone I know has to have at least a part-time job to pay for health care. How can we ever be an entrepreneurial country until we get health care costs under control? Scott, that's got to be an issue for a lot of people diving in here.
Well, again, let's look at the other side of the argument, too, before we dive in, which is we are the least likely generation to be given health care, even in the real job world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is a proven statistic across the boards as well. So, again, these are equally mitigated risks. The key here for us is if we are going to start our own businesses, there's no question. Health care, along with, the way that we treat small businesses in this country, everything needs reform. There's no question. More than just political banter. But I will say that the ability to go out and sell immediately and generate revenue. I mean, I'll take a case in point of one of my friends. She's 23 years old, basically was laid off right after school, and then started her own event planning company.
Mm-hmm.
She might be making $30,000, whereas she was making $29,000 a year at her previous job. Yet at the same time, that $30,000 allows her to sleep on a friend's couch mm-hmm. while she builds her business and pay for health care by moving into a market that might not be New York City. Again, there is always a way to make something happen. I'm a true believer in that. You have to be able to adjust your lifestyle. You have to be able to scale yourself back. Again, like I said, this is about income generation and not about Facebook fantasy.
I've got a bigger critique here I want to put to all three of you. This is interesting. I mean, who wouldn't admire people who are diving in and doing what you're doing? On the other hand, here's Bob. He says he's a small entrepreneur, has been for almost 40 years. And this will take a second. He says, what the kids are up against, Bob said, now is an advanced stage of resource theft by what we now call the super rich. It's great to make one's own path in life. If one sticks with it, one can survive. But to ignore the class warfare, this is Bob writing, of the rich against the now poor, not the poor, but the merely not rich, the attempt by the few to abandon the many to their fates is the real problem facing a new crop of ordinary people. They expect most of us to, well, he's really rugged. He says, they expect us to die prematurely in a resource-squeezed world. Youth of the world, unite. You've already lost most of what there is to lose. Now, that's a 40-year small entrepreneur. And he no doubt admires people jumping in and paddling like crazy here. But I wonder at the same time, Morgan, is there a systemic thing that your generation needs to be looking out for in addition to sort of covering your own, cost of living?
Yeah, to his point, I think one of the things that's interesting that he mentions about resources is there are so many resources out there for young entrepreneurs right now. I think starting a company, you know, there are so many tools that once cost a lot of money. Basic marketing, you can throw out the social media and Facebook kind of stuff, but there are so many networks now built that I think while he seems to be hinting at a systemic problem.
But you're blowing right by his big critique. No doubt you
right.
can find resources to get started, but he's saying, you know what, the whole system is kind of stacked against you now, and mm-hmm. good luck with your thing. God bless you, and you go. But what about the bigger political picture? Does that resonate with you at all or not?
But, I mean, I think it's stacked against you getting a job, and that's Scott's whole mm-hmm. thing. So if the cards are stacked against you to get a job and the cards are stacked against you to start a company, well, if you're going to maybe not get a job and maybe not like it, or you could start a company and at least be really passionate about what you like to do, well...
That's very pragmatic. That's not very political. Scott, is that just the way your generation is going to be?
You know, again, I would say frankly, I believe we are headed back to a hyper-local society. As much as globalization has changed, in fact, everything about even from Gen X to Gen Y, I believe, frankly, that we are going to have a new level of competition because we are the most technologically savvy generation, as well as we have the ability to fill a niche more than almost any other generation, I believe, because of the fact that we, A, have necessity, and B, can scale back our resources dramatically, unlike many of the other generations. I would say on a political level, there's no question there's mass reform needed. But at the same time, I would say, you know, we can't worry about politics. We can't worry about small business as a greater whole. Right now, I mean, frankly, you know, entrepreneurship is a necessity because we are dying out there. We need to stop worrying about big picture and start worrying about our little picture. And I think that's where many things have gone wrong.
Well, that is really interesting. That'll be tested over time. Corey, let me get a call to bring to you here. Jeff in New London, Connecticut. Jeff, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having my call.
Yeah, what do you know?
Well, my situation is that I actually started a one-man painting company just a few months before the bank crash, which turned out to be actually pretty fortuitous.
Why?
Well, because at the time my calculation was I have a boss who's making a lot of money, but, you know, providing little value to the business.
Okay.
You know, just sort of standing between the worker and the customer.
Yeah. So you did it yourself. Is it working, and why did the crash help you?
Well, it is working because I can undercut my former mid-size employer, like, by a lot. And I'm working for a lot less. I'm not making any more now as a business owner than I was as an employee. But I, you know, I'm directly interacting with the customers. It feels better. And, you know, I get up in the morning, I go to work at my job. It makes a big difference.
So is this a good thing, or does this mean your model is work alone and work for less?
Oh, this model is a good thing for me for all the reasons the previous callers had talked about. But, I do agree with the idea that we're not solving the problem by going out and taking care of ourselves. And the fact is I'm not really looking to hire another person or create that second job. I'm really only creating one job for me.
Does this look good for a lifetime model, Jeff? Does it look good for you?
For a lifetime model? I don't even know. Could drop dead tomorrow, you know. I didn't have health insurance before. I don't have, you know, I'm married into health insurance. I would have either way, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting it at my old job, and I'm not getting it now at my own business, so it doesn't really matter.
Wow, it's exciting. It's rough at the same time. It's rugged, and I guess opportunity there as well. Jeff, I appreciate your call very much. Corey Griffin, you sound like you are looking to scale up. Like you're not looking to be a one-man band here. You started out with your dad from the get-go, but you're already talking franchise in different cities and all the rest. You know, do you see a national economy that's going to be receptive to you getting up and growing out?
Yes, I definitely do. And to comment on Jeff's statement, I believe totally also 100% that we should all also do what we want to do. If he feels that, you know, that he wants to have something that's just bringing in an income to help him out with some extra bills or maybe put some food on his table on top of his job or just to have something to sustain himself, that's totally fine. I believe that. But I also believe that that people younger are going to be getting into a lot more self-employment or even big businesses, you know. Me reading a lot and learning from a lot of entrepreneurs like Robert Kiyosaki, him stating that people in the 21st century that are in the younger ages are going to be multimillionaires because of what's going on and what just happened in the past few years. I graduated from high school in 2007, and I was around a lot of people that actually just graduated from college, being a server, working in the restaurant industry at AJ's Dockside in Savannah, Georgia, and everybody was just getting out of college, and they were working with me, you know, trying to pay their school loans off. So I took a step back and said, hey, you know, either I can look at that or I can go and create my own income. And I have the option mm-hmm. of making enough income to pay for my own health insurance, and I have the option mm-hmm. to be able to grow my business or keep it at where it is and feel comfortable.
We wish you such good luck with that. I mean, Morgan, I got to, at the same time, you know, there's an old American tradition. You look in the matchbox, in the matchbook, you know, and it's make a million, you know, selling socks, right? I don't know what. I mean, everybody wants to make
socks.
A million. And we hope, you know, Corey, we hope you're fabulously successful. But do you see your generation coming into this mindset with the I'm off to be a multimillionaire notion in mind, or I'm just off to make a living in mind, Morgan?
You know, I think one of the biggest things that I've seen in this generation, and I actually am part of a tour called the Young Entrepreneurship Tour, and it's the Extreme Entrepreneurship Tour, sorry, and they tour the country speaking to high school and college students and really getting them excited about this. And it's been cool to see that, you know, while I think there is like this, you know, maybe magical, like I'll be a millionaire, a lot of it's like, I have something I really am excited about, and I want to do something I'm excited about. I don't want to go, you know, just because I'm maybe good at numbers, work at some accounting firm. If I'm really passionate about something creative, if I'm really passionate about cooking, I want to go do that and have a job that really makes me happy, and I think that's what our generation's going to do.
Dan in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. Dan, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's what's going to spur real growth is current businesses, big and small, reinvesting back into their business. And allowing those employees for their wages to increase. That is the way people save to then break out on their own. If we have this individualistic attitude where, you know, like the painter they just called, he's never going to be able to really make the wages that will allow him to hire another person, provide benefits, provide healthy benefits, and allow their wages to increase. Forcing or incentivizing current big and small medium-sized businesses to reinvest back into their businesses is the way to spur real growth and real entrepreneurship.
Dan, we'll pick it straight up, and I appreciate your call. Scott, there's the challenge, saying, you know, Dan says, come on, you know, we're going to be better off collectively if we get businesses, you know, revved up and going and hiring and raising wages, not 20-somethings undercutting everything and, you know, out there on their own and wages benefits down. I mean, it's just another view. What do you think of it?
You know, again, I think that what it comes down to right now is the advocation. You know, I personally would want to advocate, let's first be able to create the businesses in the first place before we worry about how we're going to grow them into these huge sustainable businesses. There's no question I would love to see more funding, more government, less stranglehold on certain government regulations that would allow us to do that, more financing, et cetera. But again, the fact is these are all global points that, frankly, are not coming from, my opinion, a perspective of what it's like to be a 20-something, be in debt up to your eyeballs because you were basically let down by a mantra that no longer applies. And now you have to fight your way back into the system in a way that's more proactive. So, frankly, I'm not worried about teaching Gen Y yet how to build a multi-million-dollar company and reinvest. There's no question job growth will come from entrepreneurial opportunity. But we first have to get in the game. And the ability to get into the game is what right now needs to be pushed and what we have to make sure that our young people understand in no uncertain terms that they will need to create a job to keep a job. And if they are able to create their own job, others will follow with strategic growth, with smart business planning, and so on and so forth. But right now, let's stop talking about all these global points about how we're going to revitalize the entire economy and start talking about how we're actually going to make a living.
Put a generation up against a challenge like right now, and you never know exactly how they're going to respond. Mary in Buffalo, New York. Mary, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Okay, listen, I wonder if we've forgotten about the developing countries. I'm going to use China as a perfect example. Have we overestimated the savvy that these people have in starting businesses, whether they're home-based or even corporate? So therefore, the experience these people, these entrepreneurs, are receiving here, I think might be able to be extended to those other countries, and
absolutely,
in so doing, they may require them to call upon their graduate skills.
So an international competition? I don't know how that figures in here exactly. We'll ask. I mean, Corey Griffin, one thing about your cleaning service is you're not going to be undercut by people living in China or living in India. It's got to be done in the United States in every locale, Corey.
Yes, most definitely. So, I mean, I definitely did my research on the janitorial field, and there's people that are cleaning everywhere. And that's something that me and my dad both have in common in goals is creating jobs. I mean, you know, when you look at percentages, you see that there's 35,000 students, including Ivy League seniors, are competing for about 4,000 slots. So, you know, when I seen that I have an opportunity to create more jobs, you know, with the new niche, and there's 15 million people right now unemployed.
But Morgan, not everything is going to be a local business. How do you see your generation, maybe of entrepreneurs, self-employed, stepping up to compete globally?
Yeah, you know, I think that we have a really good, back to this idea of there's this niche. I think that Gen Y, because we grew up with the technology that we do, we kind of see things. With Corey's business, he saw this green niche angle that maybe there were other janitorial services out there, but there was no one doing green. Mm-hmm. And so while he's, you know, obviously on a national level, I think there are pieces like that, like, for instance, what we're doing at Second Glass with wine. We're starting to look at, you know, the wine market's getting really big in China too. And so if we can really dominate here in the U.S. with wine education and making it really fun and accessible, then we can bring that internationally. And I think there are a lot of ideas like that that are, you know, they have to start a little bit small, but they'll build within the U.S. and then go abroad.
Scott, what's your estimate? We've got just a half a minute left here, but what percentage of people in your age group, let's say in their 20s, do you think are going to have to start their own company to find a job? Are we talking 1%, 10%, half? What's reasonable here?
I think we are talking about 20% and beyond, to be quite frank, because where else are these jobs going to come from? I mean, frankly, right now, we do not have alternatives. We need to create one of our own will and volition, and I believe that can happen. So bottom line is, get out there, start pounding the pavement, get that niche opportunity, make it happen.
Well, you all make us see a kind of a new picture coming up here. We see what you're up against and your enthusiasm to tackle it. Is admirable in itself. How the whole system works out over time, I hope you keep an eye on that too. There's that small picture and a big picture here. Scott Gerber, author of Never Get a Real Job, How to Dump Your Boss, Build a Business, and Never Go Broke. Good luck with that, Scott. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Corey Griffin in San Francisco, co-owner with his dad of Basic Green Cleaning Services. Thank you, Corey, and good luck.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure.
And Morgan First at Second Glass. Thanks for being here, Morgan.
Great to be here, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.